Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that Governor Berkeley had finally left for England, where he'd faced questions about his time as governor and how Bacon's Rebellion came about. The king had sent a letter to the assembly confirming that all of the rebels were to be pardoned, and the assembly had hidden this letter. They were confident that Governor Berkeley would be able to get the king to cancel this pardon. When word of Governor Berkeley's death reached Virginia, it threw all of the assembly's plans into chaos. They had hoped, and counted on, the governor convincing the king that the rebels didn't deserve a pardon. They deserved to be punished. And that would allow the assembly to remain loyal to the king while also recovering their losses from the rebellion. Because remember, the colonists and the assembly still considered themselves full-on English citizens. They didn't want to go against the king. They really wanted the king on their side. But this wasn't the case, and with Governor Berkeley's death, all hope of speaking with the king to change his mind was now over. Their current governor was one of the men the king had sent over to investigate why Bacon's Rebellion happened. He stayed behind to be temporary governor, and the other king's men returned to England. But seeing as he was new to Virginia, he hadn't yet developed an immunity to the yearly sickness that came around in the wintertime, so he was deathly ill and unable to perform any of his government functions while he was sick. During this time, the assembly took over control of the government and running things day to day. But now, the temporary governor, Governor Jeffreys, was recovered from his sickness and he was strong enough to fight the assembly. He had been too ill before this to make them follow the king's orders to pardon all of the rebels. Now with his health in place, Governor Jeffreys started to make it clear to the assembly that he would no longer tolerate their disobedience. One of the things he did was to target a member of the assembly who had insulted him while he was bedridden with illness. This man had called the governor a weakling in a fancy dumb wig. Not really that much of an insult, but back then it was considered pretty offensive. This assembly member had also said that the governor was a bigger rebel than Bacon and had broken laws of Virginia and wasn't worth a penny back in England. This kind of talk was too much for Governor Jeffreys. Free speech hadn't been given to the people yet, and criticizing the government and the governor was still illegal. So, he placed the assembly member on trial and charged him with speaking ill of the governor. The jury found him guilty, and the assembly sent the case to the king to ask what sort of punishment the man should receive. However, in the end, the man never really suffered any consequences, and later that year, Governor Jeffreys died. This is important because it kind of caused a series of events after the governor's death that shows just how out of control the assembly was. The assembly was so furious with the governor for putting one of their members on trial that they went after his wife. Think about that. They must have really hated him. Back then, there were these things called debtors' prisons, where people would go if they failed to pay their debts. So what they did was they looked at Governor Jeffreys' bank accounts and noticed that he was in debt. This was only because he had been working for free as governor for 8 months. For 8 months, he hadn't been paid his salary. And he'd just been racking up all this debt to live off of while he waited for the money to come to him. He had every intention of paying off the debt, of course. But when he died, his salary still hadn't arrived. So what the assembly did was they threw his widow in debtor's prison. While she was there, she wrote to one of the king's advisors and told him that she basically didn't think she was getting out of there alive, and begged him to stop the assembly from doing anything else so that her son wouldn't be ruined. Eventually, the governor's salary reached Virginia and his widow was freed from prison. But it just goes to show how much the tensions had been rising between the assembly and the governor. It's an important part of the story in how the assembly developed a sense of their own self, separate from the governor and separate from England. Granted, this wouldn't come into play for almost 100 years, but the assembly was definitely developing its own identity. So now you had another governor who had died. And the guy who was supposed to come over to take over was a pampered lord in England who didn't want to leave his life of luxury. The king had chosen this pampered lord years ago. He was supposed to be governor of Virginia if anything ever happened to Berkeley or if Berkeley ever left the colony. Well, now Berkeley was dead, and so was the guy who had been running things while Berkeley was in England. So this Lord was the next guy who was supposed to go to Virginia. But since he was used to the fancy and lavish life of England's high society, the muddy, boring towns of Virginia seemed like a nightmare. In fact, he hated the idea of going to Virginia so much that he delayed his departure to Virginia for 2 years. As an interesting point, this pampered lord was actually already familiar with the colony. He was one of those noble guys that the king had granted all of Virginia to as a gift, and that Virginians had to buy parts of Virginia back from. In a previous episode, we discussed how the Virginians had to get the permission of the king to buy Virginia back from these nobles. Well, now one of those nobles was going to be their governor. This was Lord Culpeper. While Lord Culpeper waited and waited and came up with every excuse he could to delay his trip to Virginia, the colony needed a governor to run things, and they needed one they could trust. The man they chose had been one of Governor Berkeley's closest allies. Perfect. Everyone in the assembly was one of Governor Berkeley's allies. They could totally work with this guy. Another interesting point is that we sort of brushed up against this guy in a previous episode as well. Remember how Bacon's Rebellion was going on and Governor Berkeley assembled 500 men on horseback to go out against the natives who had been attacking the colonists, but at the last minute the governor dismissed them all and told his army to go home, and historians have been baffled by this for centuries? Well, the man who had been at the front of that army, right under the command of the governor, was a man named Henry Chichley. And this was who the new governor would be while they waited for the pampered lord to get on a ship and come to Virginia. Henry Chichley had been a soldier in the English army during England's Civil War. He had fought on the side of the king and was a fierce supporter of the crown. In fact, he was knighted for his service to the king. In addition to that, when Parliament executed the king and came to power, they imprisoned Henry Chichley in the Tower of London on suspicion that he was plotting against them. They eventually allowed him to go free and sail to Virginia, so long as he didn't do anything rebellious. So this Governor Chichley guy was not only a strong Berkeley supporter, he was also a strong royal supporter. He could get along with both sides of the ocean. And it's interesting to say that there were both sides here. Several generations before this, the assembly was the same as England's government. I'm going to say it again that they still very much considered themselves Englishmen and had no desire whatsoever to break away from England. They also still recognized the authority of the king over them. However, they found themselves in a situation where they were sometimes in disagreement with the king, and they were no longer afraid to voice that disagreement. So the colony went along with this Chichley guy, who was actually a pretty good governor. He was mild-tempered and seemed to have a genuine care of both the people's and the assembly's well-being. It wouldn't last long, however, because within 2 years, the new governor, the one who hated the idea of even being there, would arrive with new instructions from the king. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss how the pampered lord finally arrived in Virginia after being forced to leave England, and how the king began taking away some of the assembly's most important rights. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.